5, and I want y'all to repeat it out loud for me in case you fell asleep just now. Of course, I always say if you're going to fall asleep, I'd rather you fall asleep at church. Amen. But I want you to repeat with me verse 5. Ready? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want to preach to you on blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. And in case you haven't been here for these messages, this is the series that we began here a few weeks ago on the Beatitudes. And I just felt led of the Lord for our whole church to be focused, even away from church building, even away from the sermons themselves, and be focused on the Word of God in this passage in particular. It is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest things that's ever been recorded down in the English language. In fact, if we will grab a hold of this, church, it will absolutely transform our life. There's nothing quite like this. It is the Word of God. And within the Word of God, it's one of those mountaintops, one of those mountain peaks. It's almost like preaching on John 3:16. It's just so glorious and grand. It is almost overwhelming. And I've really come to it hesitantly. But I want to continue today. And as we've looked at the last 2 weeks, we talked about blessed are the poor in spirit. And then we talked about blessed are they that mourn. And these are all, we have to have them. They come in this order because God divinely put them there. And then we come to blessed are the meek. Now, the first two sermons have been, those statements have been really a negative thing. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That's a negative plight. And then blessed are those that mourn. That's a negative plight. But then we come to blessed are the meek, and we come to a positive part of the Beatitudes. When I say negative and positive, of course, you know we're meaning it all good. It's all God's Word. Aren't you glad for God's Word today? But blessed are the meek. And we're going to talk about meekness, and we're going to talk about what this is really about. In fact, it's going to be the same outline again. I want to give you a definition, a description, and then the delight that we see in this passage. First of all, we have to start out, and as we do with all this passage of Scripture, we have to start out with a definition. What does it mean? What does the Bible say here when it says, blessed are the meek? You know, many times when you read your Bible, you have to go back and redefine words. And here's a word this morning, church, that if there's ever been a word that needs to be defined, and especially in this series, it needs to be this word because we have redefined. Modern English has changed words, and many times we will say a word that means totally something different than it was originally intended to be. And we know in our culture, for example, we have a word that we know is a word that it really means something very good. It's something, and sometimes it's even a lady's name, but we know in our culture it means something different, and that's the word gay. I mean, I'm talking about that means something totally different than obviously it originally was. I remember going to school with a young man. We were in grade school, and he knew what the word meant because he was smarter than the rest of us. And somebody asked him, said, are you gay? He said, yes, I'm gay. They picked at him for that all the way through school. Because he knew what the word actually meant. It meant happy. Of course, we know today that word means something. Isn't it a shame that they took a word like gay and stole it? I think we ought to steal some words back. And today we're going to look at this word meek or meekness. Blessed are the meek. Now, when we think about meekness, I want to give you the definition of meekness because I think we have almost a misinterpretation of meekness. And I've read some. I've studied this word out now for a while. And it was some things that I learned about it because it says blessed, happy, truly blessed. If you want to be truly blessed, this goes against. Now, remember, this passage goes totally against what the world's teaching. Maybe totally against what your mommy and daddy taught you. Totally against what our culture is around us. This stands almost upside down to what we get pushed down our throats every day in our society and in our media. In fact, simply stated, meekness means strength under control. It was said in olden times that the kings, a king of a land, they said, well, he is a meek king. And they meant that he had all the power, but he did not use that power to subjugate or to hurt his people. Contrary to general English language, meekness is not weakness. I think if I was to get anything across you this morning, when it says, blessed are the meek, it does not mean that you are weak. Weakness and meekness are two totally opposite things, in fact. Now, it sometimes comes across in our culture as weakness. But it says, blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who have power under control, strength that's under control. It's a word we'd use for temperance and humility. Blessed, truly happy is the one who is meek. Meekness is harnessing the passions and dispositions of the heart and clothing them with a gentle spirit. Vine's Dictionary of Biblical Words defines meekness as this: the fruit of power which has the infinite resources of God at its command. The fruit of power. Meekness is closely aligned with gentleness and self-control, which is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Meekness or gentleness or self-control is a product, or produced, I should say, supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. Blessed is that person who is meek. And we're taught the opposite. We're taught, blessed is the one that can overcome. Blessed is the winner. Blessed is the one that can conquer. That's what we're taught, or happy. You'll be happy if you can be number one. When the Bible teaches us complete opposite. In fact, some of you here on Wednesday nights, I went through Wednesday night, the paradoxes of the Word of God, several of the paradoxes on Wednesday night. And the Bible tells us that if you are last, you'll become what? Anybody remember? First. It says the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The fool will become wise, and the wise will become a fool. And the Bible tells us that when we are weak, he is, anybody remember? Strong. We don't like this. We kind of want to have our own control, but meekness here speaks of God being in control. In fact, when we define meekness in a negative way, it is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. Meekness is not preoccupied with self at all, but rather completely occupied with God and others. Meekness is the opposite of, for example, arrogance. You have an arrogant man's here and a meek man is here. They're on the opposite ends of the spectrum. If a king is arrogant, he subjugates his people, he treats them irrationally, he is really what we'd say a horrible king. In fact, if you read the Bible, you said they did that which is right in their own eyes. That is arrogance. When they lift up God and look to God, and we see that throughout the Word of God. In fact, many times you see the word meek. It is those who are close to God and living a humble, meek life. This used to be something that was taught in churches all the time. Christians used to be known as those who are meek and lowly in heart. That does not mean weak now, but meek is the opposite of arrogance. It's the opposite of pride. It's the opposite of ego. It's the opposite of self-exaltation. It's the opposite of haughtiness. It is the opposite of self-will. You think about meekness, and it says here that meekness, those that are meek, oh my, this word means something. I want you to understand also, church, this morning, it does not mean shyness. Do you know you can be very ungodly and be shy? In fact, shyness can be full of ego. I think sometimes, oh man, they're such good kids because they don't act up in a classroom because they're shy about being around people does not mean they're good. I think sometimes, well, they're shy, or they're backward, and somehow that makes them godly. Backwardness does not mean godliness. I thought this for a long time until I became a youth pastor. There was a young lady in our youth group one year, and I remember thinking, man, this is just the best kid in the world. And I saw her away from the youth group, and she was just going crazy. I was like, okay, that ruined my thought of shyness. She wasn't shy. She was just quiet around Christian people. We got to make sure that we don't think of our shyness or backwardness as somehow meekness. That's not what it is. In fact, our Savior was the picture of meekness. But we know that he wasn't shy or withdrawn or arrogant in any way. And we know that meekness does not always mean that you let somebody, for example, run over you. Our Savior overturned the money changers' tables. And I want you to understand that this meekness is this idea of self-control. This idea of having a humble spirit. This idea of living a life that is pleasing to God. It says, blessed is that person that's meek. Blessed is that person who is not about himself, that puts others first, that puts somebody, in fact, it's one of the hallmarks of a Christian. When a person gets saved, they start following the Lord, they forget about themselves, they start living their life for others. In fact, one college has this statement, because life is for service. We are servants of God. In fact, our Savior knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. We think about the Word of God. We see it again and again. We think about some of the characters of the Bible. We think of Moses, the Bible says, was a meek man. We got examples, and we look at all these things in the Word of God. You see this definition of meek? Of course, the definition, it says to inherit. We're going to look at that in just a moment. The meek shall inherit the earth. Now, I know there's cults, and for example, your Jehovah's Witnesses will say, well, we are the meek. In fact, when they witness to you, they'll try to catch you and say, well, we are the meek that will inherit the earth. And they have a totally twisted, ungodly, wrong belief on this right here. And this meek shall inherit the earth. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. But inherit means to receive or to be left with. How does this happen? We're going to talk about that in just a second. So we see these definitions of meekness. And I hope you understand this morning, church. It's not about being weak or, you know, somebody, well, I'm a Christian, I can't say anything back, or I'm going to be run over. It's not about that. But it is about putting others first. It is about living a life opposite of arrogance and pride and self-esteem. Everybody's like, you can have your best self now. I hear preachers talk about, what about you and what about you and what about you? But church and the Word of God teaches us, friend, this morning in our church, I hope pushes and promotes, that we didn't come to church for us. We didn't come to church so I can get my self-esteem built up. And I think some folks don't like our church because of that. But listen, friend, we come to church to worship the Lord above. The only thing that makes us right and good is the Lord above. The Bible, the Word of God, shows us that it's God that changes my life. Someone says, well, they're good people. There's no such thing as good people. There's only redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sister Tammy mentioned her sweet mama. And I preached her mama's funeral. And I thank God I didn't stand up there because Mary Treadway was a perfect person. I didn't stand up there and say, well, she was a great lady. Don't you misunderstand me. But Sister Tammy will tell you what Sister Treadway had. And the reason she's sitting there looking forward to seeing her one day is she knew the Lord. I remember visiting her in the hospital. And she said, well, the Lord's good. And she talked about the mercies of God. That's the only hope any of us have. That's where that meekness comes from. You see somebody full of pride and full of arrogance. And by the way, Christian, when you're known as being prideful and arrogant, can I say this in our common vernacular, a jerk? You are living opposite of this verse. I've had people tell me, well, Brother Dallas, I would go to church, but my neighbor goes to such and such. He says he loves the Lord. He's supposed to be a Christian. He's the biggest jerk in the community. You are not living according to God's word if you're living that way. In fact, it could be said that you need to check your salvation if you're living that way, because the Bible says, blessed, happy is that man, happy is that Christian who is meek. That brings me to the second thing. Let's get a description. We say these definitions, but brother, what does it really mean? I'm going to read to you a couple of things about descriptions. This description of weakness. What does it really mean, or meekness, I should say? What is it? I say, I'm even saying the wrong word. What does it mean this morning to be meek? And I want to give you a description here real quickly that a man wrote in 1660. I like going back to the old books, amen. The further back, the more I like it. He talks about this. He said, meekness, first of all, is the opposite of hastiness. Of spirit. Well, most of us are very hasty. We want things and we want them now. And you're looking at one, if there's any, hey, when I'm on Route 20, if you ain't out of my way, I'm aggravated. And we all have that. We all battle that in our lives. The Bible says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. I said, anger rests in the bosom of fools. And you know what I find? That many Christians battle anger. They don't like to talk about it, but they're angry. Don't tell God, but I'm mad. The Bible says that anger rests in the bosom of fools. You show me a man who's eaten up with anger, and I'll show you a man who's a fool. How many times somebody done something? Said, man, I got mad. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. I went somewhere I shouldn't have went simply because I got mad. It's the opposite of that. Meekness is the opposite of malice. Malice is mental murder. Someone gets mad and they have that malice in their heart. It unfits a person for duty. How can a man pray when he has malice in his heart? Our forefathers, our founders of our country, would said this, with malice toward none. With malice toward none. We as a Christian people ought not have malice in our heart. Someone came to me, I preached a funeral the other day. And they came to me and they said, I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I'm having a hard time forgiving. And they were talking about me. That's just dwelling in my mind and my heart. And Christians, we have got to forgive one another. We have got to love one another. We've got to have a meekness toward one another. We've got to have a humility toward one another. If we're going to follow God, if we're going to live this Sermon on the Mount, if we're going to have a truly blessed life, you're not blessed. Have you ever been around somebody who is eat up with bitterness? By the way, have you ever tasted anything bitter? We've been feeding Cashton different foods, you know, and we love to watch his face because if he gets something he don't like, well, he'll make the funniest face. Because if something is bitter, it's nasty. How many know I'm talking about? And you put that in there and you make that face. That face is how many Christians live their lives. They just live their life like that. God help us. Y'all know what I'm talking about this morning. It happens to us. And meekness is the opposite. Meekness is opposed to revenge. I mentioned this, you know, my favorite movies, my favorite stories, my favorite thing to read are revenge. I love anything about Wyatt Earp. Wyatt Earp's a tough guy. You mess with Wyatt Earp, he gets you back. I like in my flesh to get you back part. There's something about that. It's like, man, get him back. How dare you do that to us? When Christianity teaches, I don't get you back. In fact, it goes on in our text here, and we'll look at it in a few weeks. You bless those that persecute you. You pray for those who despitefully use you. I remind you that our Savior, as he was led as a lamb before shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He could have opened his mouth and caused them to pass out and die right there on the spot. God could have done whatever he wanted to at any time. But he set for us an example of meekness, of saying, no, I'm not going to do that. I could do that, but I'm not going to do that. I'd have every right to do that, but I'm not going to do that. Meekness is also opposed to evil speaking. We're kind of prone, even as Christians, to say things that we shouldn't say about people we shouldn't say them about. This is convicting, I'll be honest with you. As I started studying this, I'm like, oh man. We speak evil of somebody we don't like or some situation we don't like. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 4, let all evil speaking be put away. Those of you who have a problem with cussing, it's because you don't have any meekness in you. When you gossip, it does away with meekness. When you talk bad about somebody, you might want to go look in the mirror, amen? It's convicting. I started reading, I said, man, Lord, I hope I'm not evil spoke about somebody. I know I've told the story. There was a preacher that fell into sin here a few years ago. Brother Harvey was still living, and I found out about it, and I was talking to Brother Harvey, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't really meaning it bad toward the preacher, but I thought, because it aggravated him, I thought, man, shame on him. I never will forget, Brother Harvey looked at me and he said, Brother Alice, he said, I never say that. He said, because I know me and I know how something like that can happen to me. And God convicted me and I thought, Lord, he's right. We got to be very careful pointing our fingers at young people, adults. We forget who we were when we were young people. By the way, young people, don't point at the adults too much. Hey, they can't remember half what they're doing anyway. Amen. Don't point at that one. You don't know what they're going through. You don't want a health situation or financial burden. You don't know what somebody else is going through. Hey, we got to start quit looking at everybody else. Guess what? Meekness causes you to say, you know what? I'm not looking at everybody. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need. Everybody remember? Pray. Well, I ain't like that couple. We ain't like that couple. I ain't like that one. Be very careful of that. And when we look at the Bible says, blessed are the meek. Hey, it's the opposite of evil speaking. It's the complete opposite of evil speaking. It's a complete opposite of gossip and slander and attacking. And I've heard people say, well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. That's the opposite, the complete opposite of God's teaching. Then we think about, why should a Christian? Well, brother, that's why should we be meek? Why is it that you and I should be meek? I want to read again to you what Brother Watson writes. He gives a few things here why we should be meek. First of all, he talks about the examples in Scripture. We think of the examples in Scripture. Think of our Savior. We are Christians, right? If you say the name of Christ, and by the way, if you're not saved, I challenge you to accept the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born for you, lived for you, bled and died for you. In fact, because of the gospel is why we live the way that we live. If we truly believe in Christ, we say we believe in Christ, we ought to live out the gospel in our lives. And we live out the gospel by living the teaching that Jesus is, and he set him forth. He took him to a mountain here and he says, look, this is how you ought to live. You ought to be meek. Blessed are the meek. They shall inherit the earth. They're really, the ones who really got it figured out are the ones who the world says don't have it figured out. And God says, no, those are the actual ones that have got it all figured out. And he's teaching us. And he's the great example. The Bible says the king in Matthew 21:5 cometh unto the meek. Christ was our pattern of meekness. In fact, he even writes in his book here on how even the wicked sometimes are meek. When we think of some of the greatest people, even in history, that we would not necessarily consider them godly, but some of the greatest people that we admire were people that were meek. Have you ever noticed somebody, if you watch it, some of y'all could watch a TV show or a movie, you'll have a favorite character, and you'll have a character that you cannot stand. Why is that? Because the one is an arrogant jerk and the other one's nice. Right? And they're usually the one that is meek and humble. The guy, how many of y'all, some of y'all watch the old westerns, you know the guy in the white hat? He helped the lady across the road, didn't he? The good guy, the John Wayne. There's always a black hat guy that showed up, old Black Bart come to town. And Black Bart was a jerk. He was coming, he was taking everybody's cattle, wasn't he? And he was being mean to the little girls in town. And you're sitting there as a kid saying, I tell you what, I hope he shoots old Black Bart. And the good guy wouldn't even shoot the bad guy. That's how nice he was. Some of you act like you have no idea what I'm talking about. Y'all need to watch Ponderosa and get some theology. I mean, you liked Mr. Cartwright because he was the good guy. And he was raising them boys right. He said, well, that's what he's talking about. Think about it. How many of y'all ever watch Andy Griffith? Andy was a picture of somebody who had meekness. He was in charge and didn't even have a bullet gun. And Barney had one, and where did he have it? In his pocket. Y'all are some deep theologians this morning. But the reason that resonates with us, even to this day, is because, biblically speaking, we understand that. We understand what that's about. Even our young people growing up, they're watching Star Wars, same thing. All Star Wars is knights put in outer space. That's all it is. It's the good guys and the bad guys. The worst guy is Darth Vader. What's Darth Vader do? He goes to the dark side. He's the bad guy. He lives a life for himself. Now, I know there's New Age stuff and all that in Star Wars, and I'm not going to get into that, but it's the premise behind it. There's something about it. We know in our heart, you know, you see somebody being a jerk and acting on God, saying, man, that guy is right, get right with God. You know, in your heart, when you start feeling that in your heart, you say, Lord, I need to get to the altar. This meekness, this description. He says this. He says, meekness is an ornament to a Christian. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter 3:4, the ornament of a meek spirit. What an ornament it is. You can be, hey, you can have the nicest clothes on in the world. Some of y'all that work maybe in certain industries and somebody comes in and, boy, they're dressed real nice, but they sure don't act the way they're dressed. They can have the nicest pendant. They can have a gold chain around their neck. It's worth more than your house. But if they don't have a meek spirit, you could care less. You're like, man, I don't know that guy. I don't want to deal with that guy. Y'all go deal with that guy. He's a jerk. Meekness is the ornament of the Christian. In fact, it is the way, he writes, to be like God. You want to be like Christ? Be meek. It kind of just goes hand in hand. A Christian and humility. A Christian and meekness. God is meek toward them that even provoke him. And somebody provokes you. You say, well, they just did this to me, Brother Dallas. Don't they deserve this? It ain't about deserving. If it was about deserving, you and I don't deserve God's meekness toward us. In fact, meekness, he writes, argues a noble and excellent spirit. A meek man is a valorous man. A meek Christian is the one who will bend down to the little child that will do nothing for them, but still love them and be kind to them. That's meekness. That's why when politicians come to town, we say they kiss babies. That's the old saying in politics. You know why? Because if a man is at the pinnacle of power and he don't think he's too good to hold a little child, we think good of him. So there must be something good in him. Now, there's nothing good in any of us. This is expression of Christianity. But even we think, we look at the world and we say, well, he must not be all bad because he's at least nice to people who can do nothing for him. That's why we have laws even on our books. If somebody does something to a child, we say, now wait a minute, you can't do that to a defenseless child. That's horrible. How do we get that? From the Word of God is how we get that. Atheism don't teach that. They just say they're animals. Other religions don't teach that. We've got other religions that they're marrying little tiny girls in their religion. We learn in Christianity that we don't do that. We act as valorous men, as noble people. Where do we get that? Because the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. Meekness is the way to conquer and melt the heart of an enemy. We remember when Saul lay at David's mercy, and David could have cut off his, he could have killed him, and David didn't do it, and it broke Saul's heart. I'm going to tell you something. You be kind to somebody, you watch them break. There's something about that. Some of your marriages, hey, husbands, wives, go home and be kind to them. Hey, moms and dads, go home and be kind to your children. Hey, children, go home and be... Hey, some of you parents would pass out if your kid was kind to you today. You got a neighbor that won't come to church? Don't try to talk to them about the Lord. Just be nice. Be kind to them. I think of the story of a man that was unsaved and his wife was saved. Well, she preached at him. She stayed on him all the time. To come to church, he wouldn't come. And I think the preacher went to see him and he said, well, I'm going to tell you why I won't come. He said, my wife loves the Lord. He said, I believe she does. He said, but by the time, as soon as I stepped through the door, he worked in construction or whatever. He said, had muddy boots on. He said, she fusses at me and stays on me to get my boots off and don't dirty up her house to the point it drives me crazy. And he says this. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with anybody that they can't get that under control. Now, that's an excuse, but he went and told that dear wife. He said, honey, quit fussing at your husband about his muddy boots. And it wasn't alone because of her kindness that man realized. She didn't mean it bad. She meant it just trying to do the right thing. But you know, Christians, we got to understand who we are, what we say, and how we say it, and what we do. I've had to learn as a preacher. I've asked people, man, did I say something? I don't want to be off-putting. I don't want my personality or what I've said or the way I've acted to do something wrong. I said, God, help me. By the way, some of us even had to work on expressions on our face. Some of y'all look mad right now. We have to ask God to help us. To be meek. Help us, Lord. But you want to conquer that enemy, be meek. You want to help somebody, be meek. You want to win somebody, be meek. Again, not weakness. Control, humility. In fact, the meek shall inherit the earth. We ought to be meek because of what the text tells us. It says the meek shall inherit the earth. I could go on. But think about these descriptions of meekness. Then we come down lastly to the delight. When I read this, I remember thinking, the meek shall inherit the earth. Let me read to you what Dr. Watson writes here. He says this, the meek Christian is said to inherit the earth because he inherits the blessings of the earth. The wicked man has the earth, but not as the fruit of God's favor. He has it as a dog that has been poisoned with bread. It does him more hurt than good. A wicked man lives in the earth as one that lives in an infectious air. He is infected by his mercies. The fat of the earth will but make him fry and blaze the more in hell. So that a wicked man may be said not to have what he has, because he has not the blessing, but the meek saint enjoys the earth as a pledge of God's love. The curse and poison is taken out of the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Psalm 37:11. The Bible teaches us that actually the meek person gets the most even of their earthly existence. Now we know that heaven is for the meek, obviously. You don't go to heaven if you're arrogant toward God. You say, I don't need God. I'll go my own way. Well, you're going to die and go to hell. We know this. But even while you're on the earth, the Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. I read some other theologians and what they said. One theologian said this. Talking about inherit the earth. Said you get the whole earth thrown in. Wow. We are to achieve an inheritance. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Not just wealth or castles or becoming a billionaire. We get the whole world. It all belongs to God. And he gives it to all. He gives it all to us because we are joint heirs with Christ. One theologian said this, to inherit the earth means to receive and enjoy the deepest satisfaction from God's created order. It means the meek will live in the land and live in harmony with God, with community, and with nature, not by grabbing, dominating, controlling, or by force, but by gentleness, cooperation, reconciliation, humility, forgiveness, and yes, love. One very famous theologian wrote this, we will inherit the whole earth, which with thankful, free, and open hearts, and we will enjoy the good things which God in his goodness provides us here. We are sure, too, that we will always be at peace whatever troubles we are in. You see, the meek, no matter what's going on, that's why many times with Christians, somebody say, well, the stock market's bad, or oil prices are going up, or that's going up. We will be concerned because it affects our jobs, or it affects our pocketbook some, but we don't get overly concerned. Why? Because we know a God in heaven that's going to take care of us, that no matter what happens in our life, God is in control, and we meekly submit to His control and power in our lives. And therefore, because when you are meek, by the way, that's the reason we should not go around in panic and uncontrolled. We shouldn't go around and say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Boy, what am I going to do next? And man, I just don't know. Hey, Christians shouldn't live like that. By the way, I'm not saying not to be concerned. I live my life around people that are concerned about their health and about sickness and about death. But those that are meek live their life trusting God and looking to God and say, God, you're above everything and we're in your hand and you control us. When you get that, friend, you'll inherit the earth. I know some folks talk about the end of times, and I don't believe it means that in any way, shape, or form. I know folks believe a lot of different things about what this means, but I believe that God wants us to have an abundant life now. Jesus, the Bible says, He come that we might have life, that we might have it what? More abundantly. This whole series is called Truly Blessed. Did you know you're never going to be truly blessed if you don't even realize how blessed you are? And the Lord's saying, look, I have blessed you. How many of you ever stopped and thought how good you really have it? And said, God, you've been so good to us. You see, the meek man is able to capture that. I say man, we're talking about mankind. The meek lady, the meek teenager, the meek adult, the meek preacher is the one that realizes how good God's been to you. If you're not meek, you never grasp that. You never get a hold of just how good God is to us. Because we think God owes us something. And I say this, you can never be saved until you humble yourself. Or God humbles you and breaks upon your heart and you see your need of salvation. And the gospel is totally linked to this. It is totally in bound with the fact that you must believe in Christ. I venture to say this, that many folks who proclaim they know the Lord do not know the Lord by the very fact that they have never lived a meek day in their life. Not truly meek. I'm talking about truly like, God, thank you. You know, the meek person, I've read a lot here this week, I've read several sermons, but the truly meek person, he submits to God's will. He's subjective to God's word. The meek person doesn't question everything God does. He just looks and says, God, I'm going to understand it all, but I am going to trust you. That doesn't mean he's ignorant or he just doesn't care. It means he trusts God. That doesn't mean he doesn't have the same passions that you and I have. It doesn't mean the truly meek Christian doesn't. If you're meek here, that doesn't mean that you don't care. I simply say, well, man, they just don't care. They just don't. They're not wired the way I am. Oh, they're wired. The Lord Jesus Christ knows all about our passions. He knows all about that anger that swells up in us. He knows all about that bitterness that you have in your heart. He knows all about that. But He says, if you want to be blessed, you want to be truly blessed, you've got to be meek. The meek. Sean Hertel is convicting. Because there's not really a lot of awards given for meekness. There's a lot of awards who has the biggest church. Who's got the biggest bank account. Who has the best life on their Facebook posts? God help us. But meekness is only known by God. Meekness is only seen by the Lord. Sometimes we can't even tell somebody that's meek. Meek and lowly in heart. Let me give you five things here. We're going to go home. Number one, some thoughts. Well, I've already said this. I'll say it again. This is completely opposite of what our culture teaches us today. Our movies, our music, our whatever you think of, the news, even our underground culture that's kind of taught house to house. We teach our young men, man, if they hit you, you hit them back. You be wider. I mean, we teach them that. When Christianity teaches the complete opposite. I remember reading my Bible, and no offense to my family, and I love them and I appreciate it, but I was taught completely opposite from the time I was a child. Fight and swarp and get involved and be gritty and be tough. Now look, men don't need to be wimpy and soft, but it's not wimpy and soft to be meek. It's not wimpy and soft to be meek. Secondly, we are often prone to resist this teaching, even ourselves. Some of you here this morning, just to be honest with you, when you read this, and by the way, I'd encourage you to study it. I'm just giving you the cliff notes. Really study it. Go, hey, look at all the places that is commended in the Bible. It'll convict you. It'll humble you, and you start realizing, man, I've got several places that I could go through to show you scripture after scripture after scripture. We often resist it. Did you know that Moses was the meekest man on the earth? But when he messed up in his life is when he forgot just to be meek. And he struck the rock. He was a meek man that had a moment to where he wasn't meek. And in just those moments of time where he wasn't meek, but yet the Bible describes him as a meek man. Let me say thirdly, we must get back, and I'm preaching this to myself in our church, we must get back to teaching meekness. I want to win at everything. I think if you're going to play ball, you ought to try to be the champion. Our volleyball team is state champions. I want our basketball team to win it all. I want Cook Chapel. I want to be, and there's a part of that that's true, and do our very best for the Lord. But we also got to have meekness with it as well. I want your children to be successful. I want mine to be successful. But what does that really mean? What would it mean if your child had a mansion but they got out of church? What would it mean they had cars, an 8-car garage with car in every stall, but yet they didn't serve God or read His Word? So I think sometimes we're not careful, even Christians sometimes, we forget, and we got to get back to teaching that meekness is right and meekness is good. And then look, if we will humble ourselves, God will lift us up. But He resists the proud. Can I say this? Thirdly, or fourthly, one of the reasons so many are out of control is because of meekness. Here's the big statement I hear. They might not say it out loud this way, but you see it all through our culture and all through our area. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. You can't tell me, you ain't the boss of me. Like a little kid, 7th grade. I see men my age. You ain't the boss of me. I'm thinking, honey, that mullet went out 45 years ago. Let it go. Grow up. It's time for people to grow up. It's time for Christians. Well, he said something to me back when I was in 1st grade. Well, honey, he don't even remember your name now. Let it go. You know why we can't let it go? You said, brother, that's what you're talking about. You're looking at one. I've done the same thing. I never did like that girl anyway. We got to be careful, church. Because what happens is that we get out of control. We get out of control. I saw a woman the other day, 10, 15 years older than me, buying a 12, 24-pack of Milwaukee's Best. I thought, honey, are you ever going to get a lick on that thing? Why is a person that age doing that still? I'm going to tell you why. They're out of control. The drug culture in our community, many of you know this here this morning, it's even hitting in some of your all's families. You know why? Because of meekness. It's because I got to have fun. I got to fit in. I got to have friends. I got to be cool. Anything to be cool. Meekness is the opposite of being cool. Meekness is the one that is the opposite. I remember, I think of this story often. I don't even remember the young man's name. He visited our Sunday school and we were punk kids. It breaks my heart to this day. I was a kid, I know what I was doing. But we wanted to intimidate him and let him know we were tough. Man, I could tell he got scared and I liked that he was scared. He got outside, we were going to beat him up after church. Isn't that godly? We were kids, you know how kids are. We let him know we were tough. And he got out there and he looked at us and stopped us in our tracks, in our little punky tracks. He said this. He said, I'll pray for you. All of us stopped immediately. Because we knew if you started praying that God would show up. He's like, man, we ain't getting God in on us. I've thought about that so often. To me, that was a picture of being meek. Yeah, you can beat me up. You can whip me, but I'll pray for you. I'll never forget it. And God used that when I was a little boy. In my life, I said, God, I want to be like that. I want to have that fruit in my life. And let me say this, and we'll close. Could it be that one of, you know your heart, I don't know your life. But I'm talking about when nobody's around. I'm talking about when you lay your head down at night. I'm talking about when you drive your car, whatever you do in your life. Could it be that one of your problems in your life, and nobody really wants to tell you, and you don't even see it yourself, but as you've heard this message, is a lack of meekness. You're frustrated, you're angry, you're upset, you've got burdens, you've got trials. And could it be, it's because, you say, man, I'm not having any joy in my life, and it's like everybody's getting, boy, look at me, a poor little old me. We all have it sometimes. Could it be that one of the biggest problems in your life, in your family, your children, is that lack of meekness? That lack of just saying, God, I want to be under control. I've got the power, but I'm going to be meek. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to let go of my ego and my arrogance. I'm going to quit being so rudely shy. I'm going to quit being so rude in my talk. I'm going to actually speak to somebody because I don't think I'm too good to. I'm going to actually humble myself and actually even acknowledge that there's a human being in front of me. I'm actually going to pray for them. And in fact, even though they may have done me wrong, I'm still going to love them anyway. Even if they talk bad about me, I'm still going to go help them if they need some help. God, help me to be that way. I can't say we're always that way, but God, help. Maybe you're that way this morning. Say, Lord, I want to be that way. God, not because I want to, but Lord, I want you to empower me. Can I say something to you this morning? You can't be this way without God's power. You can't be this way if you're lost. And you can't be this way if you're a Christian and you're not surrendered to Him. In fact, that's why the Lord is teaching here on this mount. He brings his people away. He comes up to this mount and He sits down and He says this to them. He says this to them. He said, you want to inherit the earth? Be meek. You want to be first? Be last. You want to win? You want to gain your life? You want to really have life? Lose it. You want to really be successful? You're going to be unsuccessful in the eyes of the world. You want to really be number one? You need more heaven number. If you want to really be known, you're going to be obscure. And it goes against our flesh, and we don't like it. And I know it's not popular, but I hate to tell us, church, this morning. I'm glad to tell us our Savior is the one that told us this. And we either believe it and abide by it or we don't. The choice is yours. The meek, blessed are the meek. Let's all stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for all that you've given us. I thank you for our people.